This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, February 12th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. Samsung has announced a new line of phones, three new models with some pretty considerable updates, including 5G. Our personal tech columnist Joanna Stern tested them out, and she'll have the lowdown. That's coming up, but first, these headlines. It's official. Wireless carriers Sprint and T-Mobile will be allowed to go ahead with their merger. A U.S. district judge concluded on Tuesday that the $26 billion deal between the two companies would not stifle competition, wrapping up an antitrust case that's been ongoing since December. The decision is a defeat for the group of state attorneys general who are arguing that the merger was anti-competitive. Now, most of the country's wireless customers will have just three options for cell networks: Verizon, AT&T, and the new T-Mobile. Shares of all three were up in Tuesday trading after the decision was first reported. So, one antitrust investigation is done, and it's on to the next. The Federal Trade Commission has ordered five big tech companies, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, and Google's parent company, Alphabet, to provide details about their acquisitions of smaller companies between 2010 and 2019. The FTC says they want to understand how these large tech companies go about taking over smaller ones and whether those acquisitions could be anti-competitive. And Airbnb racked up more than $320 million in net losses in the first 9 months of 2019. That's according to people close to the company. That was down from a $200 million profit a year earlier. The company's costs are likely to go up even further as it resolves safety issues on the platform, upgrades its tech, and pays out for administrative overhead. After the underwhelming IPOs of Uber and Lyft, investors who were excited about Airbnb's profitability are now concerned that the company's slide into the red could affect its valuation ahead of its debut, which is expected later this year. Samsung's new S20 phones start at $1,000. Our personal tech columnist Joanna Stern joins us to explain whether their new features, including 5G connectivity, are worth the price tag. That's after the break. Samsung is rolling out a new line of phones, three models that include updates ranging from fingerprint recognition screens to new camera features and even, drumroll please, 5G capability. With these three new models, Samsung is leaping straight from Galaxy S10 all the way to Galaxy S20. They're skipping over nine models all at once. Here to tell us whether this new tech really warrants nine skips is our personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Joanna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
All right. Tell us about these new S20 models. Is the technology really super, super advanced?
There's so much going on with these new phones. There are two things that people should remember are cameras and connectivity. On the camera front, Samsung says they've done a complete remodeling, regutting. These are all new camera systems, new sensors, now can record 8K video. Samsung just wants you to know these are the best cameras in the world and they're on their phones. On the connectivity front, they want you to know that they've got 5G, and this is the first mainstream phone to have 5G across the entire lineup. So that means you can go into a store, you can buy these phones, and you can walk out with 5G. Kinda. It is very complicated how 5G is working. It's complicated to know what kind of flavors the carriers offer in terms of 5G. And then it's complicated to know which of these phones work with what carriers and what flavors.
Okay. So these are really, again, we're back into the mini computer phone era where your phone is doing everything for you. Let's talk about these cameras. Apple came out with the three-eyed monster last year.
Mm-hmm.
How do these compare to that?
It's funny. The thing I was most excited about after seeing these phones wasn't really a hardware feature. It's this new camera software feature called Single Take. And I often struggle on my iPhone when I'm taking photos of my son. Do I take a video? Do I take a photo? I'm switching back and forth. I'm holding down the button. What am I going to do here? And Samsung solves this here by giving you this setting. You press down on it for a couple of seconds. It captures both. It captures photos and video. So you don't have to think about, oh, am I need to toggle this on? Should I put the flash on? Should I do this and this? It does all of that, and then it kicks back to you a bunch of photos and videos with some that have effects on it. maybe makes it sort of the like live photo, little animation to one, and it gives you all of those to choose from. And I think this is just a really nice usability thing because I'm constantly thinking, what should I do here? But what you need to know in terms of the cameras is there are these three models of phones starting at the Galaxy S20, and that has three rear cameras. So you get the wide, you get the ultra wide, and you get the telephoto. Then you move up to the Galaxy S20 Plus, and that has four cameras on the back. And you get those same three that you had on the Galaxy S20, but you also get one extra camera that doesn't actually take photos. It's called a time of flight sensor, and that captures information and depth information around your environment. And that's going to be used for augmented reality apps that will then be enhanced by 5G. So four cameras on that model. Then you move up to the Galaxy S20 Ultra, and there you get, again, four models, but they've really maxed out the sensors there and the capabilities on the cameras. And the main thing that I take away from that is that you get a crazy zoom lens. On the telephoto lens, they've put in what they call a folded zoom, and it has a prism on top so it can refract light. What you really need to know here is that it is incredibly zoomy. You get a crazy zoom. You get 10x optical zoom and 100x digital zoom. So you can be standing really, really far away from something and zoom in and see pretty clearly what it is.
Wow.
I should also say, it also sounds potentially creepy. I can see wanting to have a longer zoom lens. Let's say you're watching your kid in a play and you're really far behind the stage and you can't really see very well. I can see wanting to take some sort of landscape and really wanting to zoom in on something. In the demo, Samsung showed this really impressive shot. The guy had been on an airplane and he could zoom into a stadium down below and you could actually see the stadium. So you could see all of that being super cool. But I also see the super creepy side of that, which is, you take a photo of something pretty far out, and then you can zoom in and see someone's face pretty clearly. Or, I don't know, you take a photo of an apartment from outside because you just think, oh, that's a nice building. But then you zoom in and, I don't know, somebody's changing.
So we're almost at the creeper stalker.
I would call it the Galaxy S creeper.
All right. I'm not sure they're going to be so happy with that new title. Let's talk about connectivity. You mentioned 5G being very complicated. Part of the reason it's complicated is that the phones don't necessarily match up with the capabilities of the network options that we have right now, right? So let's talk a little bit about that. You said there's a question of which servers and which providers are going to be able to work with this phone. What's the problem there?
The main issue is around the smaller phone, the Samsung Galaxy S20. That phone only supports what's called sub-6 5G, and this is what's also known as mid-band 5G. And to make it simple for people, it's faster than 4G, but it's not as fast as the fastest 5G. Okay, just think of it as like sort of this middle band, this mid-space of 5G. Now, that's what's supported on the Galaxy S20. Because it's a lower-end phone at $1,000. You don't get the full capabilities, and when you go up the line, you get faster 5G, which is called this millimeter wave 5G. So that means that you have to have carriers supporting sub-6 or mid-band 5G. The issue is that the biggest carrier in the United States right now, Verizon, doesn't support that. So that means that the Samsung Galaxy S20, when it releases, won't be available on Verizon. It will be available on AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile, but not Verizon. It also means that when you go up the line, from you go to the Plus or the Ultra, you get they support both the sub-6 and the millimeter wave. So this is great. You can work, they work on all these networks, but that's also complicated. I think that's really complicated for a user saying, well, in some places you're going to get okay 5G. In some places, you're going to get really fast 5G. And again, that's on the networks that are just starting to roll these things out. So AT&T is rolling out sub-6 in some areas. T-Mobile's got a bigger blanket of coverage with that. Sprint's got an even bigger blanket of coverage with sub-6. So ultimately, what ends up being a pretty unequal experience for users. And not only, I mean, we'll see that in this next couple of months as this rolls out, but also down the line, it seems that's going to be the case.
So what happens if they don't have that accessibility in the place that they're in? Does it revert? It reverts back down just like we've had in the past, a 4G, LTE, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, all of these phones are going to be great 4G, LTE phones. And that's honestly what I want people to take away here. I don't want people running out to go buy these because they have 5G. And I think that's a little bit getting mixed messages with the marketing. We saw a lot of marketing around the Super Bowl about 5G is going to change the world. People are going to buy these phones, and I don't think they're going to feel much of a difference. What are they going to do that's much faster? Maybe download a video on Netflix a little bit faster, maybe game a little bit faster. Those are things I don't ever do.
On your phone.
Or ever, really.
Yeah.
I don't game and I don't download movies. I stream them.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I download them if I'm going on a long flight or I want my son to be able to watch them in the car, but I'm on Wi-Fi a lot. So my big takeaway right now is we're not really sure what 5G is great for. It's nice that these phones have it, and it's a nice future-proof feature, but don't run out and go buy these phones because they have 5G.
Is there anything else about the phones? We usually talk about things like screens. We talk about facial recognition technologies. We talked about touch sensor technologies. Anything else that's would be something people would be running out wanting to pull in for $1,000?
I don't think so. And I think the big thing, you know, you see it in the marketing. Samsung saying 9 leaps ahead. This is going to be twice as good as the S10. This is crazy. I don't think that's the case. This is marketing. 5G is a big jump. It is a big future-proof jump. These cameras look pretty crazy, and I have to test them for longer to see if the camera quality and the video quality holds up to what Samsung's saying. But if true, these will probably be the best cameras on the market in a smartphone. But are those things that make you want to go out and buy the latest and greatest? Maybe an early adopter will say yes, but I think for the most of us, we're okay with last year's phone.
All right. Joanna Stern, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me here.
And that was your tech news briefing. Don't forget, if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.